What's up, everybody? It is Alan from Breaking and Entering, and you are checking out episode number 44 of the Breaking and Entering podcast. Today on the show, we are talking with a singer-songwriter based out of Canada. Her name is Sarah May. She's relatively new to the music game, but had gotten her start way before that. So we kind of talk about her background just a little bit, releasing music in a pandemic, and what she's got planned next. Without further ado, it's Sarah May on the Breaking and Entering podcast. Sarah May, thank you for joining us here on the Breaking and Entering podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing super well, thank you.
We are very excited to have you here on the show. You're another artist that we picked through Reverb Nation. And we want to get to know you a little bit more and know a little bit more about your music. So let's start at the beginning. Really, when did you kind of first discover this might be the thing for me?
It was actually a few years ago now. I was a very public poet. I would write poetry and post it on sites like Tumblr. And I had a friend reach out to me when I was about 20 to ask if I would write them a song or just write lyrics to a song, which I'd never really done before. But I had been told that my poems sounded a lot like songs. And so I decided to go ahead and give it a try. And they really loved it. They told some of their friends, and then I was contacted a lot more frequently about possibly writing lyrics for even more people, which led me into top lining for the next 2 years, which was super fun. And I, you know, started making a little bit of money from it, which was really nice to get that expendable income. Mm-hmm. And then it was actually just before 2020 hit, I had written these songs, which I found I was doing all the time in my free time, even if I didn't have a client or a project to work on with someone else. I was just constantly writing because I found just this joy around it.
Right.
And I had written these songs that I was like kind of looking at. I was like, I don't want to sell these. I really want these to be my own. And so I always thought that I would just hold them with me. But it got to a point where I said, you know what, I think these really need to be made. And I took the dive and decided to, go and do some studio time and actually try to dive into the recording artist and aspect of side of like that side of things.
Sure.
And I released my first song, which was called 2 Minutes, in January of 2020.
Okay. So, exciting time to release stuff and put stuff out. And then the world kind of, you know, shuts down right after that.
I definitely thought that even if the artist thing didn't work out for me, that it would be really great to kind of put my name out there on a different level as a songwriter. But even a lot of independent artists that I had worked with prior were their feet were taken out from under them, obviously, with the pandemic. So mm-hmm. You can't really afford to hire a songwriter at that point. So yeah, it was absolutely a bizarre time to get into it.
Yeah, definitely. So you had been doing some writing, but no singing really before that or anything like that? No, like in school or anything like that? Production background?
I do have a production background. I was involved in a few plays in middle school. And then when I entered high school, I was a lot more interested in our art department. And then towards the end of my high school education, I was involved with a few of the drama department's plays, mm-hmm. but as a technical person. So I was in the backstage, I was in the sound booth. I actually found out around the time that I turned 18, 19, that I was suffering from a lot of hearing loss, actually.
Oh.
So it was interesting that I kind of found my way into this, because after I kind of got diagnosed with something like that, I felt like I could kind of see all the hurdles in front of me. And I went on to go and get a job to pay for my own music schooling, the tuition there for vocal lessons, which would then go on to lead me to releasing my own music. So it all kind of just happened by accident.
Yeah. And you're kind of just taking the ride, which is awesome. And I appreciate that anytime somebody, you know, is going for it and just getting after it like that. You said you've got, you know, you had clients and then you were writing for them. Is it weird to put something out? Because I would assume a lot of your music is kind of based in your life. Is it weird to put something out and then have it, you know, sung by somebody else? And interpreted by somebody else kind of vocally and have to put their emotions into it?
So when I was top lining, I didn't often, if I was writing for someone else, I would try to apply my own personal experience to what I was writing about, but I was really involved with the artists that I work with. What is this song about? What does it mean to you? Is there an overarching theme? And I wanted to tell their story more than mine. So I never wrote anything about myself that was too intimate that I would feel uncomfortable someone else singing. But obviously if someone comes to me and they're like, I want to write about this song and it's about, I want to put out a song and it's about heartbreak. Like, this girl broke my heart. Well, I can relate to that, you know, like, I think most people can. So it was easy in a sense for me to apply my own life and my own experiences to the music I was writing, but nothing that I've ever written for anyone else was too intimate about me that I'd ever feel uncomfortable with it.
Sure, absolutely. And I think you can obviously save the more personal things for yourself there too, when the situation calls for it. But you've been releasing music, you know, since 2020. You put out your first singles then. Describe that moment for you, like when it's the first time that, you know, you're a writer and you've done all this, the top lining stuff, and now it's you, you know, like, what was that feeling like to be like, okay, I'm putting music out into the world.
Yeah,
here it is. It, you was, know,
yeah, it was terrifying. It was so much scarier than I thought it would be. And I released five songs. Well, I released four songs independently. And I remember the first one, I thought it would be just the same as just like writing something for someone and giving it to them. But when I was top lining, I'd often sell those songs outright. So a lot of those songs, I don't even have writing credits on because I was, you know, looking for a larger payout in one moment.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, writing for a lot of independents, they're not going to make that back on streaming. And the likelihood of you seeing that is really low. So for this to be put out, it's got my name on it. It's me doing it. It's got my face. Like, it was so much scarier than I thought it would be, because not only was all of that happening, but it was about me. All my songs were about how I felt about my life. And for the first time ever, someone could turn around and say, well, you made it.
Right.
And it's not good.
Yeah.
So, That was super scary. And I thought after the first time I would get used to it, but I'm seven songs in now. So I've released seven songs since then. And each time I it doesn't get easier. Like, it's still really, really scary actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned top lining that you don't have writing credits and some of that stuff, but you obviously paid for it. Do you know the artist when you do something like that? Because that's kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people that might be listening, is, you know, the idea of like ghostwriting or songwriting for someone. Do you know like what artist it lands on, or does it just go to a label? How does that kind of work?
So it honestly depends on who I'm approached by. I've written for independent producers. I've written for independent artists who come to me and it's just them. They don't have a team. I've written for someone who has come to me anonymously with a song, or just so top lining is you write over a finished instrumental.
Right.
And they come to me with something like that, but I don't know who they are. There is no name, but there is an agreement that, you know, there's leasing and there's all this legal stuff behind it. So if someone wants to come to me and go anonymous, that's fine, as long as all that other stuff is taken care of. So it honestly depends on the situation, because I have written for larger entities, I have written for mysterious people, and I have written for just a single person.
Wow. That's gotta be a unique kind of situation to be like, yeah, this person's coming to you anonymously. You can learn nothing about them, but they need a song and here's the track and do something with it and go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's really interesting, because the people who I get approached by, I'm always waiting to see like when they're going to put it out. But so many, and that's true for a lot of independent artists, is so many will actually pay for the song, have it all put together. It's a finished product and they won't release it. Wow. And that's for their own reasons, whatever they may be. So a lot of the songs that I've actually written and sold and given away, like, they're out and not in my control anymore. I don't know if they'll ever see the light of day.
Wow, that is an amazing concept. That is kind of, you know, unspoken at some points, that people don't know that, you know, how much music gets left on the shelf and how much music doesn't really see the light of day, but it was a try and you had to see what happened from it, and people still made money off of it too. You mentioned, you know, that you write over a Finnish instrumental, and when you're doing your own work, is that selection process a little bit more, you know, fine-tuned, because you can make music that is going to sound with you? Like, do you have producers that you work with?
So I do have a variety of producers who I met through Toplining, who I work with, for my own stuff now. And we have great relationships together. So yeah, I can be a little bit more picky and just be like, don't give me a bunch of trap music or, you know, I'm not writing for SoundCloud rappers anymore. So I can be a little bit more personal with the kind of music that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. I do have some producers, to mention a few. There's Wild X Youths, who I understand is a team of people. And they are super talented, really awesome. They've done custom beats for me. I've just purchased stuff that they have in their catalog. And we have a great relationship. And also there's an Australian producer who I've worked with before, who's done custom work for me on my last single, It Fades Away. His name's Noisy Sauce, and he produced the track for that, and it was 100% custom, because I had actually kind of written the song backwards.
Hey, that is an amazing kind of, you know, concept of having to write over the top of some of that stuff. Really, I mean, when you're putting things together for you and you're putting together a project, you know, what is there, you know, what's the focus of your writing when you put together music for you? Is it more personal? Is it a chance to kind of air some of that stuff out? Or is it kind of like, okay, we want to make a song that, you know, is going to be a hit on, let's say, like TikTok or something like that, like, you know, to kind of aim for, like, we want the widest play possible here, you know?
When I write songs for myself that I'm going to put out as an artist, there's never, I think, a goal. It's oftentimes a feeling that I get, and I write the song and then I know what it's about. So it kind of just comes naturally, and I really try to allow that to happen, because I don't ever want to make what I call fast food content, which I don't particularly appreciate myself. And I know that there are artists who write songs that are meant to blow up on TikTok, and that's fine. But I really would like it for, if people are to listen to my music, to pay it more attention than, you know, 7 seconds or 30 seconds, because I think what I have to say in my music is so important to me that if people are going to just pay it even a bit of mind, I would like it to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I never set out to write a song for it to go viral, in quotations there, because as nice as it would be to have a song go viral, it's never, ever my intention.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the way that people consume music now, unfortunately, is not, you know, like super album based and super project based and things like that. Like you've even experienced that in putting out singles rather than putting out, you know, it's really kind of like the attention span is like, what can you do for this 30 seconds or 40 seconds or whatever? So when you write, though, do you have, like, I'm sure, do you have those producers that come to you and they're like, hey, we just need one, you know what I mean? Like, we just need something quick, like, or do you kind of get the chance to refuse that sort of thing?
Yeah, and you know what? I've refused writing certain songs for some people before. If they want me to use a bunch of, you know, keywords and you know, make a song that's really just meant to be consumed in a 30-second time frame, I find no passion in that, and I decline. I say that's not the music I write. Mm-hmm. I will write for your SoundCloud. I really will. I'll write your rap music. I'll write your country music. I will write anything that you want me to write, but I'm not going to write about keywords and phrases and trends that are only consumed on such a quick and quite finicky platform. Like, I don't do that. I also turn away some writers who come to me and they want to write about, you know, how much they hate women, or they want to write about how much they love, you know, certain political figures. Right. I don't engage in that. I just won't do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it almost sounds like you'd be copywriting at that point. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like writing for, you know, to try and get the best Google or the best algorithm play rather than to, you know, convey something. Yeah. And that's, I don't think that's what music is either. Yeah, you're right. You know what?
You can find plenty of people who do make music like that, and they're really, really good at it, and they like to do it. But I think it's wrong to go to someone who says, I really don't think I'm the right person. Because if I were to do it, I really feel like it would lack a lot of that passion that can go into it, which makes it a good song. So, you know, even there are songs out there that say the word yeet like 20 times in the chorus. And they are catchy and fun because the person who made it was having a good time with it. But I'm just not going to be that person.
Yeah. And I think the majority of listening audiences will thank you for that, you know. So you're based out of Canada. You're based out of Vancouver. And one thing that I noticed in talking to you is just that you have a really good knowledge of, like, the industry. You know, and it seems like the music industry and the situations that come to it. How did you kind of break into that, you know, break out of being, like, maybe a local musician into this larger scale?
Oh, larger scale. I don't know about that. Music has always been an interest to me. I've always loved it. I come from a very musical family. And I think, you know, every six-year-old stares out their car window and listens to the songs on the radio and pretends that they're the ones singing them. And they dream about being a rock star. And that was always me. I've always dreamed of that. But I kind of kept those dreams to myself because I never thought that I would be the kind of person who would do that. Mm-hmm. And then when I was actually graduating high school, I was accepted into film school in Vancouver. And my goal was to actually make film for music. So I always knew that music was an avenue that I was going to take, but I didn't realize it would be to this extent. I unfortunately wasn't able to attend due to some unforeseen circumstances kind of affecting my family. So I had to decline and not attend, but it would then go on to lead me into just saying, you know what, I'm going to do it anyways. And that's where I kind of came from. And I do really, really enjoy reading about the industry. I enjoy reading about new startups in the industry. I really enjoy kind of a younger person's influence on the industry, because when we think about record labels, I think in particular, we think about like a bunch of old guys sitting in an office determining who's going to be the next star. And with the rise of like apps like TikTok, I'm not going to knock TikTok. Like, it's a great app for discovering unknown artists. It is. Mm-hmm. And I think that control being put back into a young artist's hands is super important. And I do really, really like reading about it.
Yeah, definitely. Just as an aside, would the school in question be the Vancouver Film School?
It was, yes.
So when I was in college, or when I was a senior in high school, I actually seriously looked at a DVD from Vancouver Film School and thought I was going to go there, and then ended up staying closer to home. But that was definitely high on the list. So I'm glad.
It's an amazing school. Yeah. I'm very sad. I actually got a scholarship to go, but it wasn't a full ride. So unfortunately that was, and Vancouver's like an impossible town to live in with the prices. So but the campus is outstanding. If you ever have an opportunity to go and they're holding like tours, you should definitely like go and check it out.
Yeah, for sure. With that in mind, you've got, you know, a film background too. Does that translate into, do you want to make, you know, music videos and give your own music the full huge production too?
I would love to have a music video. I'm really hoping that my latest single, Something to Fall Back On, can grab a video at some point, and we can take off with something like that as like a new thing for my career. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have a film background in the sense of directing.
Right.
But I do have a lot of ideas when it came to film. I really saw myself as being more of a sound designer within film than an actual director. So I don't know how to handle a camera. I wouldn't know what to do with it if you put one in my hands. So I'm really hoping that I can, you know, get in contact with maybe some students in the area who would be interested in doing something that, like that for a project. And I am with an indie label based out of the UK called Last Night from Glasgow. And okay. They are super supportive in helping me find those resources too.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And speaking of putting music out, you know, looking at your discography and what you've got out there, most of it has been released kind of during these last few years of just absolute craziness in the world. So I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm guessing you probably haven't really got a chance to play out much or perform kind of thing.
No, I haven't. I haven't. It's been tough. It definitely was like, I kind of see it in terms of my career as very, very interesting and an opportunity, and also like probably the worst thing to happen if you're entering the music industry. Because I have not had an opportunity to perform live at all. I'm really hoping this spring will be different and that I can get out and get to some venues or be a part of, you know, someone else's production as maybe just like someone who introduces a show. And also that the pandemic is kind of all I've known for this aspect of the career.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have had to be super creative in terms of my career growth because of it.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people that they have to, you know, develop a skill set that they weren't necessarily planning on developing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess, I mean, it's hard to ask, but do you know, you must know the Vancouver music scene a little bit. Like, what is it like out there?
Yeah, so obviously Vancouver's a film town. A lot of Hollywood blockbusters get filmed in Vancouver. And if I were to think of, you know, a music town in Canada, it would be Toronto. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that Vancouver doesn't have a massive underground music scene. So obviously a lot of underground music in Vancouver has suffered, it being such a condensed population. There's not a lot of opportunity to gather for shows.
Yeah.
So it, you know, before it was a really interesting, there was live events going on all the time. A lot of new indie unknown artists got to perform in Vancouver in all sorts of different locations. It honestly was a really interesting environment to find new music. And now I think, you know, Vancouver's really, really missing it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, live music all over the world is hurting right now. And, you know, hopefully we can get back to being together and doing that sort of thing. Hopefully we can get to see you, you know, perform live somewhere.
I would love that.
I know it is hard to think about the rest of the year now, but what do you think, you know, you kind of have in mind for 2022? You know, you're on a label and that's awesome that they've been able to kind of boost you out there a little bit, but what do you see for the rest of 2022?
Yeah, so I decided to come into the year with a little bit more focus on promotion and marketing because, you know, when it comes down to it, I've had the opportunity to kind of observe this climate. Things are kind of, feels like they're on like a seesaw right now. So they're getting good and then they're getting bad. And I've decided that I'm just kind of tired of waiting it out, and I'm going to make the best of the situation. So my goal is to at least double my audience come the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long-term goal. My short-term goal is to perform live somewhere. If I have to set up a speaker and a microphone on the sidewalk, I will. But that is my goal, is that I'm going to be performing live at least once this year. My goal is also for the year this year to go to the UK to visit my label and play some shows there, hopefully, which would be super fun because I now, you know, with being with the label, now have an audience in the UK, which is super great to kind of cross the borders and and see an audience outside of North America as well. So lots of different goals. And something I really struggle with is audience engagement. So my goal with that as well is to kind of build up an audience who I feel like I can be genuine with and I feel like I can be forthcoming with. Because for me, social media is difficult to be genuine if I'm not looking someone right in the face.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I mean, you really haven't had a chance to kind of interact with an audience and build one up, you know, by being in person and let that come across. But hopefully this can help a little bit. And actually, we can help you out here. So if they want to find you and follow you, where is the best place to go and do that?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at Sarah Mae Shogun. I'm on Twitter at Sarah Mae Musics with an X. I'm on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page, the Sarah Mae official page. I'm on Spotify and Apple Music. I absolutely love it when people go and follow me on the streaming platforms. That's amazing. I'm on SoundCloud. You can find me under Sarah Mae pretty much everywhere. So that would be amazing to get a push from this podcast.
Absolutely. Well, we will do the best that we can. We will certainly check out your music and go give it a stream or two. Thank you so much for taking the time to really sit down and kind of talk with us and
thank you.
Give us an introduction to what you're doing. Stay safe up there in Canada. I'm sure that it is, you know, that's one of the few times I get to say north of us, but stay safe out there. I know, you know?
Yeah, you too.
So, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you to Sarah Mae for taking the time to sit down and talk with us. Make sure you check out her latest single, Something to Fall Back On. It's available on streaming services everywhere. So make sure you go stream it. If you want more music from independent artists all over the world, you can do that every day at breakingandentering.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, TikTok, pretty much anywhere on the internet. We are there. We have a radio show on Spotify. We've got a weekly e-newsletter that goes out as well. And if you want to support us, you can do that for as low as $5 and get these episodes as soon as they are finished, they are uploaded, so you don't have to wait another week for another one to drop. You can do that over at patreon.com/breakingandentering. Again, as low as $5. But if you are going to wait until next week, we will see you next time on the Breaking and Entering podcast. Hey guys, it's Alan. Just wanted to check in again real quick here at the end of the show and let you know that if you want to listen to more of me talking, but also want to listen to some great music as well, you can join us for Breaking and Entering Radio every single week. Myself and Patrick Carroll play 2 hours of independent hip-hop, broadcasting live out of the Breaking and Entering World headquarters. We're on over 30 stations all over the world right now, so you can check out where to listen to Breaking and Entering Radio by visiting breakingandentering.net/schedule.